a time of preparation. We see again the beauty of creation. The leaves begin to drop, getting ready for the new season. The squirrel with its russet coat gathers fuel and preparation. The birds begin to make their flight to summer climes. A season of preparation. The fields are ripe with golden crops. The harvest fields are ready to be gathered in. Times are changing once again. Planning never ceases. We move in a circle of time. A time for everything under the sun. A time to store. A time to plow. A time to turn over the soil. The circle of life begins again without a break. What a wonderful God we have, who gives us everything we need according to the pattern he has laid out for us. The threshing floors will be filled with grain, and vats will overflow with new wine and oil. For I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. This last wee poem was written by my granddaughter when she was 10. She's now 30, but I thought it was lovely just to share with you. Swirling, swishing, blowing a gale, a russet squirrel twitches its tail. Golden ginger leaves fall down, fallen conkers cover the ground. The air is turning crisp and cold, a harvest moon shines bright and gold. Welcome, harvest.
Chapter 16.
Feast of Tabernacles. Celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your feast, you, your sons and daughters, your men servants and maidservants, and the Levites, the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the feast to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. Amen.
About a lady and her mother-in-law. Do you know the story I mean? You remember the story? The name of the mother-in-law was Naomi, and the name of the daughter-in-law was Ruth. That's right, it was Ruth. And the story of Naomi and Ruth is the story of how, after a very sad beginning in the story, Ruth and her mother-in-law get their way back to Bethlehem. Ruth has lost her husband, he's died. Naomi has lost her husband, he's died. The two of them could be described as potentially at least very, very sad. They came back to Bethlehem because they didn't have enough to keep them going in the land of Moab where they were. So when they got back, they had to think, how are we going to live? How are we going to eat? And Ruth, who was an enterprising kind of young lady, I think, said, I know what I'll do. That's harvest time, and I'll go, and when the reapers have finished gathering up the grain, I'll go and help gather in any bits that are left. It was called gleaning in those days. And there was a special instruction in the Bible, an interesting instruction, that when you harvested your crop, you always had to leave some gleanings so that poor people could come and pick them up. It was the first social security payment that was ever made. It was a good arrangement. And that's what Ruth did. She went and she gathered the gleanings behind the harvesters. Well, it's a marvelous story, and it leads to her wedding, because the owner of the field falls in love with her, and they get married, and it's awfully romantic, so it is. But we're going to hear a little bit of the story from the Bible itself. So if you come and just... Yes? That's great. Yeah. It's from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 to 7.
Ruth meets Boaz in the grain field. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." Amen.
That was the beginning of the romance. And it leads to that lovely ending of the story. But our thought today, as we think about the story of Ruth, is that when we gather like this, we're not just to think with thanksgiving of what we've got or gained and appreciate, but we're always to be thinking of others and reaching out to them. And so today we have in Chalmers Adler Church special collection for Tear Fund and a special opportunity to provide resources for the food bank. And we are going to come now to God in prayer for not only these things, but perhaps slightly wider things as well, always bearing in mind God's care for the refugee and the homeless and the needy ones. Catherine, you're going to come. When we come to the Lord Jesus himself, he celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, as it was called. And on the last great day of the feast, he spoke up very loud and clear. And so this is our third reading today. Who's doing that one? Yeah, okay. John chapter 7.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus said, "Sorry, I can't."
That's okay.
On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." Amen.
Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who provides the greatest harvest. And it's a harvest in our lives. They'd had their great celebration, and they'd had 7 days of feasting and joy. But it reads as if, when it came to the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus felt he needed to do something. He needed to make something clear. And so he stood up among them all, and he said in a loud voice so that nobody could fail to hear, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Maybe you're quite familiar with these words, but there's an emphasis in them that I thought it would be worth for a very short time today to share with you. Jesus is the source of life, just as water is the source of very much of our life. And water was celebrated, especially in lands like Palestine, which knew what it was to be without water at times. And Jesus stood among them and he said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." It was like he was saying, here is the water. You can come and you can drink and feel the satisfaction of that cool, refreshing water fill your life. It was an invitation. Jesus was always making invitations, wasn't he? "I am the light of the world," he goes on to say later in John's Gospel. "Whoever follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Or, and we've got the display there of the bread, haven't we? Or Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never be hungry, and whoever believes in me shall never be thirsty." Of course, he wasn't talking about normal bread. He wasn't talking about normal water. He was saying that if we come to him, there are deep levels of satisfaction and life that we shall know. He absolutely promises it, without doubt, without any kind of prevarication. He says it to us. If you're thirsty for real life, if you're hungry for real sustenance, if you're looking for a light to walk by, then come to me. But sometimes people say, well, it's very hard to come. Where is he? How can I come to him? And I want to answer you that today in our harvest celebration. The answer is a simple and direct one. He is near with us when we meet together in his name. Here's another promise. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So you see, to come to Jesus doesn't mean that you have to get on a plane to go a long distance. Doesn't mean that. Because he's near. He's actually here. He's close by you. And he promises that if you will simply come to him, that very short distance. Oh, I remember one day preaching down in Galashiels so many years ago now. And I was preaching about the story of Zacchaeus. You remember the story of Zacchaeus who climbed up into the tree? And there he was, and Jesus came passing by. He was so close, but Zacchaeus was hidden in the tree. Perhaps thought that Jesus wouldn't see him. But Jesus knew all about him, and he looked up into the tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I must eat at your house today. And in my imagination, I imagine that Zacchaeus nearly fell out of the tree because he was so quick to get there. And Jesus said to him later that very day, today, Zacchaeus, salvation, that's a big word for really being safe with God. Salvation has come to your house today. And he was thrilled. What if when you went to your home, to your house today, you were to go knowing, I met with Jesus today. I came to Jesus today. I drank of the water of life in Jesus this morning. I took the bread that Jesus is, and I took it into my life. I began to walk in the light. Suppose that that were to happen. Be very wonderful, wouldn't it? And it could happen. Couldn't it? You believe in that? Oh, I was reading a little thing that a minister wrote the other day. Ministers don't always get it right, you know. Not even me. We don't always get it right. And this minister was saying, you can know Jesus if you pray and you read the Bible and you come to church. Is that what you believe? How do we know Jesus? Do we have to pray a lot? Do we have to read the Bible so we know every word? Do we have to be in the fellowship so much that we're never off the street coming to church? No. No. If, you remember the old children's song, you won't really sing the old ones, if I come to Jesus, he will make me glad. And I just have to come to him. I don't have to do anything. Dear brothers and sisters, there's such a lot of that nonsense about him, doing this and doing that. You don't have to do anything. You just have to take the cup that he offers you and drink it. That's it, isn't it? It's not complicated. You know, Jesus doesn't just love intellectual people. I know you are all intellectual people, but he doesn't just love intellectual people. He loves little boys and girls. And he loves people who are not so bright. Just as much as the bright ones. Every bit as much. And he wants them all, he wants us all, to know that in simplicity we can come to him. Here's the last wee thought this morning. It comes out of what Jesus says in that reading. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within him. That's quite puzzling, isn't it? How could rivers of water flow out through me? It's as if God is saying, you drink the water, and then the water that you give becomes life-giving water for other people. So it comes from Jesus, it comes to me, and then it goes to you. Oh, that's so exciting. That once you begin to see it, you can hardly contain yourself. I'll tell you an illustration of it. I went to a funeral this week. It was the funeral of the Reverend Lad Fagerson. Some of you may know his name, probably many of you don't. He was old, well into his 80s, but he'd lived a life of service for Jesus, and he was dying. He's been dying for the last 6 months. And it was my privilege to visit him occasionally. He's staying with his son and family in Westmuir, not far from Kirriemuir. And I would go in, and Lad latterly was in his bed all the time. And I'd be greeted by this radiant smile. And before long, we'd be sitting for a wee while, because he couldn't cope with much. We'd be sitting for a wee while, and I would say, well, I think we should read a bit from the Bible now. And we would read a passage or two from here and there. And he would say, in as strong a voice as he could get hold of, oh, that's marvelous. And you know, as I prayed with Lad, and he prayed with me, because we both prayed, I knew exactly what Jesus was saying. Because you see, I was receiving the water of life through Lad Fagerson, who was sharing the love of Jesus, the companionship of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, which he had come so richly to know, with me. And you see what it's saying? You and I can receive that. We can be that to each other. We can be the water of life. We can be the bread of life through Jesus. We can be the light to each other. Because not only does Jesus come to bless my life, but he comes to make me a blessing to others. Is there any question more important than this question? How can I live a life which glorifies and honors God? The answer's here. You come to Jesus, and by his grace, he reaches out through you, sometimes amazingly, he reaches out through you to bless others. And it all then becomes part of the glorious harvest which we await with eager expectation. We're going to sing, and then we'll have the blessing. We're going to sing.